You're listening to the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show, only on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
It's 9:35 and we're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, this morning we're talking with Dr. Ann Rice, who is the owner of the Visiting Vet in Williamston. And Dr. Rice, before the break, we were talking about the whole concept of holistic. And one of the things that really intrigues me is the concept of nutrition. Because for a long time in human medicine, there was really not an understanding of the importance of nutrition in human health. And I think that the same thing obviously is true when it comes to pets. But I've got to say, when I've told people that my wife and I actually open up a can of green beans and put green beans in with dog food, people look at us like we're freaks. And I keep explaining to them, no, you just don't understand what's not in dog food. How did you figure out the importance of nutrition, and how do you communicate the message to people of how truly important it really is?
That's one of my favorite topics of conversation.
Well, good. So, I'm glad we brought it up.
I can talk hours on
this. Ding, 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 ding.
First of all, nutrition is something that an owner has control over. They get to choose what goes into the animal. That's not by law. Nobody's forcing them to do that. And we're now fortunate enough to have a number of commercial foods out there that have way beyond our one and only Purina product of years ago. People are demanding it. It's out there. There are choices. We can go from commercial to raw to dehydrated raw. So there's so many choices for those animals. You're finding out I'm a storyteller. My uncle was a dairy farmer. He had a German Shepherd that was a working dog, and on a farm, they have to work. This man fed his dog from the table. They grew their food. They had their own meat. They had their milk. They had a huge garden. The dog ate what the humans ate. These dogs, and if you know anything about German Shepherds, in this day and age, they don't live very long because of so many problems. This dog lived to be 14, another one 15. Number one, they had a job. Number two, they had the best nutrition going. Now, I graduated out of vet school, and I went out to New York to visit my uncle, and he said, can you help me with the cows and the cats and the dogs? And I said, you know, you really might want to think of going to a commercial food. Hard for a holistic veterinarian now, but I said those words 35 years ago. And he said, well, do you think he's not looking good right now? And I said, well, you know, those commercial foods have everything they need. They don't need anything else. I said those words. And I had to eat those words a few years later. And I asked him why he didn't slap me upside the head and tell me, use your eyes. Observe what you see. This dog is working from morning till night, working hard, just as hard as the farmer is. And the dog is thriving and living a very long, healthful life. We didn't have the hip dysplasia. We didn't have the breakdown of the joints. Number one, he was moving. Number two, he had the best food, and he had a purpose. He had his job. So that nutrition is what keeps the animals going. I talk about nutrition having still some life force in it. If we've still got some energy left in that food, that animal's body takes in that energy. If it's dead, totally dead, or it's made up of, here I'm going to get myself in trouble, all corn, we're not going to have very long-lasting energy from that food. So would the animal who just lives on the couch be able to survive? Certainly they can survive. Do they thrive? Well, they have a lot more vet visits. What I tell my clients when they look at some of the prices of some of the other foods that are that I'm recommending, they say, well, I don't want to pay that much. I said, well, you actually have a choice. You can pay just a little bit more for a better quality ingredient list, or you start paying me a whole lot more money or any other vet to try and maintain this animal. And we'll have better longevity, less problems. And what I tell most of my clients when I arrive, especially with skin conditions, I said, you know, about 80% of the animals will turn around if we just change to a better quality food. Start there.
And you get to see, you know, firsthand, I would imagine going to a vet with
skin-related problem on your animal, if you don't show back up again, the vet might just assume it's all gone away, and it may not very well. It may be going from vet to vet to vet. In your case, you get to go to their home. You get to see them again and again and again. What are some of the specifics that you tell people about nutrition when they actually look at the bag and look at the list of ingredients? Or are you a big fan of raw food? Are you a big fan of the freeze-dried?
You know, each dog or cat, any pet, is an individual.
Okay.
And as much as I might like raw, and my dog chose raw, she buried all commercial food. And so I knew I was in trouble. We had to go for raw with her, and she thrives. But
what kind is she?
She's a Bouvier.
Bouvier, okay.
She's a herding dog. She just has chickens and goats and sheep to herd. But she made that choice, and I honored that. But not all animals do well on raw. So it's an option. It's a good option for some animals, but it's not perfect for all.
Sure.
The dehydrated raw is a nice option, not perfect. The commercial food, I have a lot of clients. When I first started, I wanted everybody to cook for their animal, and I'd give them recipes, and they're going, I don't even cook for myself. Really expect me to cook for my dog?
Right.
And so I said, okay, let's find another option. So I became less rigid on that, and I became far more open-minded, because you have to take into account the owner's lifestyle. What can they do?
For sure.
They might want to do something different.
Right.
How can we step that up from where they are to make it the next step better? Adding the beans, adding some things to an already commercial diet. You know, we can always improve from where they start. I see a household with six Great Danes. These are some big dogs. This woman went
Must
from
be a
commercial.
Big house.
Yeah, I don't know how she does it.
But wow.
She goes to a meat market in Detroit. She's in Detroit. And I said, do you just buy the whole cow or what do you do?
Right.
So everyone has their priorities. Everybody has whatever time they can devote to their pet. Mm-hmm. And it's not the same in each household. So we have to tailor it for what's going to be good for that dog or animal and what's going to be good for that owner.
Right. Dr. Royce, what is your view on vaccination? Because that's also an interesting topic. And let me warn you, we've only got a couple minutes left.
Oh, you know, that's a biggie.
I know, it's a biggie in my world. I know it is.
I'm afraid that we over-vaccinate our pets. What's lovely is the AVMA finally put in writing, and that's a big step for a national veterinary group to do, that not more than every 3 years on the core vaccines. And they've actually put in writing a lot of vaccines that are not truly necessary, only in certain circumstances.
Wow.
So I really think that this is personal opinion, that by over-vaccinating, we set up for chronic illness. Mm-hmm. We knock down that immune system. It boggles my mind in any medical community, whether it be human or animal, why would we possibly vaccinate an animal when it comes in with an illness? When it's got a fever, when it's sick, why are we going to choose that time to vaccinate that animal?
Right,
they're coming in for surgery. They're getting hit with surgery, anesthesia. Uh-huh. They're knocking down their stress level. And then we vaccinate them? That makes no sense to me.
Very good point.
So I think that people need to look at that, ask questions, say, perhaps not today. Let me space it out. Mm-hmm. Let me do less. Less is better for the pet.
Dr. Royce, if any of our listeners are interested in getting more information about you and your practice, where would they go?
Well, I will have a website coming up. I'm not terribly technical, but I think that's a nice way to disseminate information. And my website is mihomevet.com.
Okay, great. We've been speaking this morning with Dr. Ann Rice, the owner of The Visiting Vet in Williamston, Michigan. Thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been a real pleasure to talk with
you. Thank
you. And Rick, in the next segment, we're going to continue the conversation about holistic with a student who's got a very interesting perspective right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.
Let the chemistry's good. Your words walk right.